Happy Friday, everybody, and what a week it's been. I'm Brandon Walton's managing editor for Texas Scorecard, and this is our weekly Friday roundup here at Empower Texans, where I'm going to join a couple people from our team and talk about some of the big stories from this week. If you have any questions or comments and you're watching live on Facebook, please feel free to drop those down. We'll get to them at the end of the show. But first, I don't want to waste any time. Let's go straight to Kerry Cheshire with Texans for Fiscal Responsibility. Kerry, you and I and Michael Sullivan headed down to Laredo this week and went to a rally to open Texas. And the big highlight of that event, of course, was Dallas salon owner Shelley Luther going down and presenting money and promoting the fundraising for a couple of women down there who were jailed in a sting operation for offering beauty services. Kerry, give folks an idea. I mean, when you think political activism and conservative political activism, for that matter, a lot of folks don't think about Laredo. And yet you had a big showing of folks lined up outside of City Hall this week.
Well, that's right, Brandon. I encourage everyone to actually read the article that you wrote at TexasScorecard.com, giving a very detailed rundown of what happened. But as you mentioned, it was, you know, kind of 75, 80 folks, probably about half of them from around Texas. You had us there. You had Lieutenant Colonel Alan West there, Alma Jackson with the RPT, a number of folks there kind of showing their support for these cosmetologists, barbers. I don't know exactly. As you can tell, I wasn't able to go see them. But anyway, a very good turnout there at City Hall. And it's kind of interesting because it's literally right behind a statue of George Washington. Who of course, you know, did, you know, stand up and fight for our liberties. And now who's standing up and fighting for our liberties? It's a couple of salon operators down in the Rio Grande Valley, actually in South Texas in Laredo. And then, of course, Shelley Luther up in Dallas, who came down to stand with them. And I think there was, you know, she had a very powerful message, you know, kind of demanding the people in City Hall come down and tell these women they're not essential, that they don't deserve to fight to make a living for their family. And that's a pretty strong challenge. We've seen a growing frustration all across Texas, all across America, as more and more people who gave the benefit of the doubt to their lawmakers that, hey, this might be serious. We do want to save lives. We do want to be responsible citizens. They've just had enough, because it's just, you give them an inch and they've taken a mile. You know, nobody thought it was 15 days to slow the spread back in March. And now you're having some people celebrate because on Monday they can go to a gym and wear latex gloves.
Yes. And you do see, I mean, a lot of these strategies that we're seeing to reopen Texas, like you mentioned, opening up gyms, but you have to wear gloves, which is going to be interesting, you know, an interesting time lifting weights doing that. But you do see, and we talked with, got to the opportunity to chat with Shelley a little bit after the rally, that, you know, she goes out there, makes a stance, opens up her salon in defiance of these orders. And she said, look, I think that the reason that salons are open right now is in large part because of the recommendations that I gave the governor's team. And but even expanding on that and saying, look, governor, I don't understand this difference between essential and non-essential businesses. There was a lot, I think the most interesting people in attendance, an industry that I haven't thought much about in the context of this virus, was tattoo shop owners, but they were there in large force and saying essentially, look, we follow the same rules. Essentially, we have the same licenses. Why can't we be open? It seems like a lot of folks are saying these distinctions seem arbitrary.
Well, I think that's a great point. Folks recognize that these distinctions are arbitrary. And I think that the politicians ought to be very careful, because if they don't realize it, they are radicalizing a lot of individuals. You know, if you think about it, you, me, Jacob Askinson, who we'll hear from later, we've been the angry guys throwing our shoes at the television for over 10 years. Shelley Luther is someone who didn't vote in Republican primaries. Tattoo shop operators, I guess, tattoo artists, a lot of them are people who don't vote. And now they're getting a brutal introduction to government. A stark reminder that, especially at the local level, you know, you've got Lena Hidalgo in Houston, in Harris County, you've got Clay Jenkins up in Dallas. It's these people who are coming in and putting in a lot of these orders at the local level that, you know, if you're just a regular citizen, it's a lot more difficult to control who the president is, who the governor is, your U.S. senator. It's a lot easier to make a huge stink about your city councilman or county commissioner or county judge. And like I said, these people are getting a brutal introduction to local government, to the crazy people who are running our governments here in Texas. And I hope that they build on this opportunity to realize, you know what, there's a lot of other stuff that they do, even when there's not a coronavirus that's pretty messed up. And we need to clean house out of a lot of these politicians.
Yes, and Karen Starnes, who's watching live on Facebook right now, notes, we are all essential. I think we couldn't agree more. And I think it's important for folks to realize, I mean, yes, Laredo was relevant because this is where that sting operation happened, where they're arresting two young women who had no business being in jail. But at the same time, it's important because Laredo has been one of the cities, I think a lot of people don't realize this, on the forefront of these strict regulations. They were, I think, the first city to implement stay-at-home orders, one of the first cities to implement mask orders, and certainly an area worth paying attention to. One last thing I want to ask you about, you mentioned Alan Westwood's in attendance. He's running for chair of the Republican Party of Texas, but you also had at least one person from the Republican Party of Texas. You had Vice Chair Alma Perez Jackson in attendance. What do you make of that?
You know, Brandon, it's been very interesting because if you look back to last week when Shelley Luther was still in jail, there was a letter signed by a number of members of the SREC, including Alma Perez Jackson, demanding that Governor Greg Abbott pardon her and get her out of jail. Dickey has not done that. In the interim, he's been inviting Abbott, Patrick, and most recently George P. Bush on for, you know, kind of very long conference calls with pre-screened questions to give them, you know, kind of just really treating it about, hey, here are the people that you're supposed to support because you're a Republican, not why are these Republican elected officials not doing Republican things. I think Alan West has had a very proactive and commanding presence so far running against James Dickey because he's out standing for the things that I think grassroots folks want him to stand for. And meanwhile, James Dickey thus far is just standing with the politicians. It'll be a very interesting race at the July Texas GOP convention to see which of those is chosen as the new leader. As a reminder, we'll be putting out a questionnaire rather soon and inviting both candidates to interview for that position. We do not offer endorsements in party races.
And we'll be looking for those endorsement questionnaires, or not endorsement questionnaires, but questionnaires for the chairman soon. Thank you for chatting with us, Carrie. Now, a source of, I think, amusement for a lot of folks, even if you don't live there, is what is the Austin City Council and the Austin mayor doing? It seems like every week they're able to outdo themselves somehow, and this was no exception. Jacob Asmussen, our Central Texas Bureau Chief, has an article and followed this interesting saga that's kind of still continuing, where the Austin mayor, Steve Adler, liberal guy, implements this proposal essentially for contact tracing. Now, this is something a lot of folks are talking about as a response to the Chinese coronavirus, but says, hey, if you're a business owner, if you're a restaurant owner, you should keep detailed logs of who's been visiting your establishment. And if you don't, we're going to essentially blacklist you. Jacob, give folks a little bit of background on this.
That's right, Brandon. Well, despite Governor Greg Abbott gradually reopening the state now, you see a lot of local officials, including Austin's mayor, saying, well, you know what, we're going to kind of make our own rules. And so last week, Mayor Adler extended his stay-at-home order, which includes things like a mask mandate, and this new proposal, this new order, rather, where he threatens businesses to track all customers that come in their doors. So any business or restaurant with a capacity of 75 or less, he wants them to keep an activity log, which includes collecting contact information from every customer, as well as even tracking where they sit in the location.
And not only that, he says, look, if you don't comply, we're going to try to publicly embarrass your business as well.
That's right, Brandon. If they don't, then he warns, well, Austin Public Health has the, quote, unlimited discretion to determine which businesses were exposed to the coronavirus, and they can publish their names to the public. So essentially, in other words, if you don't follow my order, you could be put on a blacklist where your name could be exposed to the public, and you could be potentially devastated and lose all kinds of business.
It looked like this practice might have been put to a halt. Earlier this week, you had Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton sending a letter to Steve Adler and Travis County Judge Sarah Eckhart about, in part, these contact tracing requirements. Steve, what was Adler's response?
Yeah, so Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton sent them a letter calling the order, quote, Orwellian and, quote, unlawful. And he told them to stop. But Mayor Adler was obstinate. He responded defiantly, saying, "You know what? We're gonna continue doing this despite the warning from the Attorney General."
Wow, incredible! And we're gonna be following that situation closely. See what they decide to do. I know I've eaten out a couple times. I've not filled out a form. I'm not going to fill out a form. I think a lot of folks agree with that. So we'll be watching that situation. Thank you, Jacob.
Thanks, Brendan.
Well, you mentioned Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. He sent out a letter not only to Travis County in the city of Austin, but also to county leaders and mayors in Dallas County and Bexar County, where San Antonio is, saying, look, you need to stop these mask requirements. You need to stop these prohibitions on in-person worship. You need to stop these contact tracing orders. We're seeing some responses now that they may or may not be listening to that advice. So for that action this week, Attorney General Ken Paxton, for going out there on a limb against these, going out there against these orders, is this week's hero. I will add this caveat, of course, though. You know, when you have cities like Austin saying, well, we're going to do what we want anyways, it's now incumbent on the Attorney General and all statewide leaders and the governor now to put those words into action. So a hero with a small caveat this week. This week's Halfwit, you have to look at the DFW Metroplex, where you have the city of Carrollton, who is receiving, like a lot of cities and counties across the state, receiving money, federal money, from the CARES Act in response to the Chinese coronavirus. And they debated spending it on dune buggies and drones for the police department. Okay, the police department in Carrollton wanted dune buggies and drones to, I guess, help increase public safety. I will say, I see pictures of these. They look pretty fun. They look like something you'd ride around on a ranch or something. Not sure it's the best use of money at a time when cities are going to be looking at decreased revenue and folks need tax relief. So for even considering that, now they did go ahead and wind that back after grassroots pressure forced them to, but for even considering that, for that, the Carrollton Police Department and City Council, for that matter, this week's Halfwit.
Thank you for listening to this week's Friday Roundup from Texas Scorecard. Remember, you can head to the Empower Texans Facebook page at 11 a.m. every Friday to watch the show live and get your questions in.